the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of Saint Rita is like a fascinating adventure. It is entering a superior world in which the human and the divine, the earthly and the heavenly, are mixed. Of course, Rita wasn't born as a saint, but from all eternity, God had chosen her to be one. And she, in the different stages of her life as daughter, wife, mother, widow, and religious, knew how to fulfill God's will and thus reach an eminent degree of holiness. Rita was born in 1381 or 1382 in Rocaparena, a small village of the municipality of Cascia. Her father was named Antonio Lotti. Her mother, according to tradition, was called Amata Ferri, and it seems that she was already over 40 years old and had lost hope of having children. But God granted her the gift of this only daughter whom they named Margarita, for which her current abbreviated name of Rita comes. Rita was baptized the same day or a few days after her birth in the church of Santa Maria della Pieve de Cascia with the name of Margarita. She would probably make her first communion when she was 12 years old, as it used to be then. She was obedient to her parents in everything, and she was very dedicated to prayer and the service of God and others. The nuns of her convent, writing about her life, say, "After a childhood of singular innocence and purity, all given to prayer and piety, she felt a great desire to unite with God. Therefore, she was trying to obtain the permission of her parents to consecrate herself to His Divine Majesty, but she did not obtain it and was forced by them to marry. Her parents were already somewhat advanced in age and felt the concern of leaving her alone in the world. And they thought that the best thing for her was marriage, so someone would watch over her. According to the customs of her time, it was necessary to obey the parents, who had to give consent to marry or to enter religious life. Saint Rita of Cascia accepted the decision of her parents as God's will. She prepared with enthusiasm to marry the young suitor named Paolo of Fernando Mancini. Fernando was the name of Paolo's father. It is not known exactly at what age she was married. It would be the year 1395, and she married in the church of San Montano de Rocaparena, where her parents were buried and where her husband and children were buried. She devoted herself with all her soul to serving and making her husband happy, and at the same time, she took care of her parents, working in the house and in the fields. But her life was not easy. Father Simonetti says in his biography of the saint, "Today, in the monastery of Saint Rita, verses written in honor of the saint can be found, which were preserved shortly after her death by a certain Father Nicola, an Augustinian hermit, which make it known that she was married by her devoted father to a willing but resentful young man." The nuns of her convent wrote about her in 1628. "Rita agreed to a husband with harsh habits so that she would not lack a continuous exercise of religious tolerance at home. But Rita, with her good-naturedness, overcame her husband's harshness, and for 18 years she lived with him in good harmony, admired by all." As we can see, Saint Rita loved him and changed his feelings of violence over time, being more relaxed and tolerant. Even having belonged to the party of the Ghibellines, contrary to the Pope, he separated himself from them. From their marriage, they had two sons, who seem to have been twins, and tradition has named them Gian Giacomo Giovanni Antonio and Paolo Maria. Both were baptized in the church of Santa Maria della Pieve de Cascia. Rita was an exemplary mother for them, attending to their needs in everything. Likewise, for her husband, she was a model of patience and tolerance, thus passed 18 years of marriage. After 18 years of married life, her husband was murdered. What was the reason? Some speak of the popular revolution that broke out in 1413 between the Guelphs and the Ghibellines. In Rocaparena, there were many Guelphs, while the Ghibellines ruled in the city of Cascia. It seems that Paolo had served with the Ghibellines and could have political enemies. It probably happened in the year 1413, when Rita was about 32 years old. From the first moment, she knew how to forgive murderers. And to avoid revenge from her children, it is said that she hid her husband's bloody shirt. But the problem was not solved by her forgiveness. In that atmosphere of struggle and revenge, the husband's brothers and relatives wanted revenge. Rita saw with pain how they constantly spoke of revenge and thus poisoned the spirits of her children, who would be around 15 years old. Rita dedicated herself intensely to praying to avoid revenge that her children might be involved in. Under these circumstances, she may have shared with the Lord the wish that she would rather see her children dead than murderers. In fact, the two youngsters died within a year, probably due to the plague that struck that region. After suffering the loss of her children and her husband, Rita devoted herself with great interest to making peace between her husband's family and the murderers. It seemed like an impossible mission. Rather than understanding her, his family members were outraged and scandalized by her attitude, which seemed abnormal to them. And she had to go to prayer to find in God the peace and strength she needed in those difficult moments. Something that took up a lot of time was dedicating herself to caring for the sick and needy. And while trying to make peace in her family, she seriously considered becoming an Augustinian nun of the convent of St. Mary Magdalene of Cascia in order to dedicate the rest of her life to the service of God. Rita knocked on the doors of the convent of St. Mary Magdalene, but she was rejected up to 3 times. The cause was not because she was a widow, since in other convents there were also widows, but probably because there could still be serious difficulties with the murderers who could take the problems to the convent, thus breaking the conventual peace. In the brief account written by the nuns in 1628, they say, "Redoubling prayer and tears, she humbled herself before the gaze of God, attributing to her demerit and her sins the rejection they gave her. Finally, God's mercy consoled her. One night she heard a voice inviting her to the monastery. Rita saw St. John the Baptist walking towards a very high rock called Sciopo from Rocca Perena. There she was abandoned for a short time so that she could understand the altitude of the place and the sublimity of the religious perfection to which God called her, and she would see the horror of the fall. While there, timid and anxious, she was consoled by St. John the Baptist, who arrived in the company of St. Augustine of Hippo and St. Nicholas of Tolentino. These 3 saints took her and placed her in a way incomprehensible to her inside the monastery and disappeared. The next morning, the nuns found her inside the cloister without knowing how she had gotten in, the doors being closed. But she told them in a simple way what had happened, and meeting in chapter and by divine disposition, they accepted her as a religious." This event of the miraculous entry into the convent, was it real, just as it was narrated by the nuns of the convent? Or was it a vision as understood by the judges of the beatification process? The judges of the beatification process, when examining the ancient canvas of the convent, were a painting of St. Rita with St. John the Baptist, St. Augustine of Hippo, and St. Nicholas of Tolentino appears, saw an inscription at the bottom, which read, "When in vision St. John the Baptist, St. Augustine of Hippo, and St. Nicholas of Tolentino came to Blessed Rita to become a nun." Here we talk about a vision. It could be that way, or it could be a miracle of God. In the life of some saints, such as St. Raymond Penafort, St. Martin de Porres, and others, it is said that they had the charism of subtlety and could enter certain places with doors and windows closed. In the case of St. Rita of Cascia, the important thing is to know that she entered the convent with the extraordinary help of her 3 favorite saints. Perhaps they paved the way to reach reconciliation with the murderers, and thus the problems of entering the convent were solved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.